Welcome to the Pint Glass Football Podcast.
Pint Glass Football, NFL and college football. I'm your host, Brad Fowler. What's up, PGF Nation? NFL draft season is here, and today we're ranking the top five wide receivers in this class. We're going to each rank these guys and break down their games in depth. Joining me, like always, my co-host, Alex Higdon. Alex, what is going on?
Hey, Brad. Big, big, big move in NFL last week. I can't wait to talk about it.
Yeah, Alex, before we jump in to these wide receiver prospect rankings that we have here, our top five, of course, one team I think that we can safely say is going to be targeting a wide receiver is the Buffalo Bills after trading Stephon Diggs to the Texans. Before we jump in, Alex, quick thoughts on this move for the Bills and the Texans getting in what still a very elite wide receiver for their young quarterback.
I know we don't like to pat ourselves on the back, but Brad, you know, this is something that we've been talking about. I thought it maybe it would have been next offseason given looking at the numbers, but they actually pulled the trigger this season. It's even referenced on our new YouTube page that everybody can go and check out our mock draft where we talked about Stephon Diggs no longer being a part of this team and why we thought they would be drafting a wide receiver at 28.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, Alex. But I think I am going to take a victory lap on this one because we did call this. We saw this coming about a year in advance. It was time for them to move off of this guy. I think they knew it. But like we said, this is definitely going to open them up for a key spot here at 28 in this first round. I think they're going to be targeting possibly one of these receivers that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, across the board, there's been a lot of wholesale changes going around with what the Buffalo Bills are doing now that they are in going into their second year with Josh Allen's contract hitting. So they did have to make some wholesale moves, and this was one of them.
Right, exactly. And with the Texans on the opposite end of that spectrum, they've got a rookie quarterback, or I guess CJ Stroud now going into year two, but under a rookie deal, so they can afford to spend and go after big names like a Stephon Diggs to help bolster their roster. So that's kind of the way it works in the NFL. Once you pay your quarterback, you got to make tough decisions. And when you haven't paid one yet, you get the luxury of going after guys like this. So really interesting move and a big offseason move for sure. But Alex, we've got a big time wide receiver class. This is one of the best wide receiver classes we've seen in the last couple of years, and we've had a lot of good ones, but this one is definitely one to circle because I think we've got several guys here that could go not only in the top 10, maybe even in the top five here with some of these names, really, really elite prospects, and we've got a lot of guys later in the draft. There's a lot of value as well. It's a very deep class, but we're going to rank our top five guys, Alex, and I think number one is pretty much consensus across the board here. Marvin Harrison Jr., 6'3", 209, out of Ohio State. I know you're not as high on him as some people, and I know the term generational talent has kind of been thrown around with Marvin Harrison, and there's some debate if he's actually that good or not. No matter how you look at it, though, when you break down the tape and you watch this guy's game, he is a big, big-time prospect.
Right. I mean, the bloodline here. So we know where the tutelage was coming from. So we know what type of player that you're going to get. Very polished all around the board. And you're absolutely right. Regardless of my feelings on the generational talent tag, he is without a doubt number one with the bullet Maserati Marv, as they called him, coming out of a last year's pro day for Ohio State, what they saw. And then he also, again, delivered this season. Not as much. I know he was banged up, nicked up a little bit again this year, but he did come out and show a lot of what people are expecting to see what he can do at the next level.
Yeah. When you break down the tape, one thing that really stood out to me, Alex, the body control. Elite body control for a player of his size, especially really high football IQ. You've talked about it. This is a guy who's had unbelievable teaching from his Hall of Fame dad. So he's been around elite coaching ever since he was a kid. He understands how to play this game at a very high level for a young player, understands what defenses are trying to do, and knows how to manipulate coverage. He also has that second gear to be a deep threat. Elite footwork, Alex. I mean, this guy is a technician getting in and out of his breaks. such a sharp route runner. I think he's a capable blocker, probably doesn't get mentioned enough, but I like what I saw from him in the run game. Uses his size well, because like we said, 6'3", 209, a lot bigger than his dad was. He has that rare combination of size, speed, hands, short area quickness. He's really the complete package and, quite frankly, the best wide receiver prospect that I've evaluated since I started doing this podcast, Alex.
Yeah, completely understand that evaluation. I think whatever team ends up drafting him, I guess right now most of us have him slotted going number 4 to Arizona to give Kyler Murray and the new head coach over there a huge weapon after what they did in their offseason. He is able to slide right in as a true X and as a true playmaker to see what Kyler Murray can do with this type of player in this offense moving forward.
So there's no perfect prospect, though. It's only fair to point out some of the things that were maybe a concern on tape. For me, Alex, I didn't see elite top-end speed. I did mention that he has a second gear. I think he's plenty fast, but I wouldn't say he has elite speed. And for me, Alex, I didn't like that he didn't compete at the combine or his pro day. It makes me kind of question his competitive fire to a certain degree. I'm not saying the kid doesn't have a desire to be great or you know, doesn't have a desire to be a quality player. I'm not questioning his work ethic. I'm not saying any of that. It just kind of makes me question, like, why didn't you want to go out there and compete and show people what you can do? The other thing that was maybe an area of concern for me was he's explosive, but I would say, once again, not elite explosive qualities. Very polished player, fast, big, athletic. He has all the things you're looking for, but those were some of the things that I thought were somewhat concerning when I watched his tape.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we're talking about one of these guys, I mean, you still have him rated at least between the 9.5 and the 10 for the most part. I believe that's what most scouts and teams probably have this player rated at. So now I think a lot of it is when we get to really scrutinize and we've seen so much tape. So you start to look at maybe he doesn't fight after the ball. Some of the things we, you know, allowed Deebo Samuel for, how he turns into a running back after he catches the ball and the toughness there. There's a little bit in terms of, if you want to talk about blocking downfield, some of the things we love, like a Hines Ward or a Brandon Ayuk for, that he can definitely go in and work on. But I think if you're looking at in terms of the prospects compared to everybody else, there's very little of things that you're seeing that he can't do that you can't teach him or have him work on at the next level.
Our number 2 wide receiver is the same guy, but it's not the same guy for most analysts. We've both got Roma Dunze as the number 2 wide receiver in this class, 6'3", 212 pounds, out of Washington. I really, really like this kid's game, and I think in most other years, he'd probably be the number 1 wide receiver off the board.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to keep it honest with our listeners, initially, I did have Malik Nabers in this role, and it was something that Brad said to me that made me go back and look at some more tape between the two, and I ended up moving Odunze up from 3 to 2, and it was simply because every single time I saw him, I saw traces of Davante Adams, and what I mean by that is the precise route running skill set. When you have this, when you don't have the speed, the top end speed, it becomes when you can create separation is off of your movement and your route running. And that is one of the key things that has kept somebody like Davante Adams at the level that he's been at for the past, you know, I would say 6 to 7 years straight when he's been healthy. And I'm saying Davante Adams a lot because this is the comparison that I have for Roma Dunze. He's very tight when he is moving throughout the field. I mean, it's very seamless. I like it a lot more. I have him in terms of these top 3 wide receivers. I have him as the best route runner of the wide receivers that I believe will go in the first round. He's so tight. He's going to be, if you say I need you to be at 5 yards and 2 meters, two centimeters, he's going to be at that mark, and he's going to know exactly where it is. So what it is that ball's coming out before he even makes the break. He's going to be where he is supposed to be, and that can be a quarterback's best friend.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. I mean, this guy has great hands, big-time catch radius, elite ball skills, makes contested catches look easy and effortless. But the thing that you hit on, and I couldn't agree more, such a smooth, clean route runner. Absolutely the best route runner in this class. Complete route runner who can execute the entire route tree to perfection. There is nothing that this kid can't do as far as a wide receiver and what you're asking to do. Wins at all three levels, can play on the outside, can play on the inside. Super consistent player. I mean, just got better and better, it seemed like, every game and every year in college, he improved and just continued to become a better player. Dominated man coverage. I mean, this guy is tough and ultra competitive.
Yeah, Brad. And unlike Marvin Harrison, this is going to sound weird being that Marvin Harrison is number one. It took me a while to find a lot of chink in the armor. Even watching tape after tape after tape, trying to find where there's a chink in the armor, and it's not a lot. Now, what I will say is sometimes his 40 time speed does not look like game speed, and that's really truly the only knock that I have here on Romo Dunze. The reason Marvin Harrison is ahead, the high pointing of the ball, the explosive playability. Romo Dunze does have a lot of that, but he's just not the complete athlete that I see in Marvin Harrison here. So that's why when I was speaking earlier, when we were talking about, especially again, if you go to our YouTube in a mock draft, that's why I don't have a lot of separation between Romo Dunze as well as Marvin Harrison Jr., because I think they're really, truly close. And I don't think you could go wrong either way. It's just in this case, because we're doing a ranking, I have Romo Dunze second.
Yeah, Alex, it was hard to find really any chinks in the armor, as you put it. I think he does need to show a little more consistent effort as a run blocker. If I was going to nitpick this game, you mentioned the explosiveness. I think it shows up most at the line of scrimmage. Not that he doesn't have an explosive element to his game. He's just, it's very average, I would say. And he did have some trouble with press coverage, which we know in the NFL, he is going to see some of that. I think that's something that he can work on. But as far as a complete receiver, man, this guy just checks about every single box. I love this kid's game. Number three receiver on our board. You mentioned it, Alex. He's a guy that is very, very touted in this class, and that's Malik Nabers, 6 foot tall, 200 pounds out of LSU. I mean, this kid is lightning quick. He has such quick feet, the most explosive wide receiver in this class.
His tape is just full of complete highlights running down the field, shades of what we saw from the Joe Burrow offense with Terrence Marshall, JJ, and Jamar Chase, and so on and so forth. I mean, he is just all over the field. I mean, you can put him in a myriad of different places. We can talk about it a little bit later in terms of the fit and style of offense that he can fit in. But I mean, this kid, he can run about every route, not as tight as Marvin Harrison Jr. and definitely not as good as we believe in Romo Dunze, but doesn't have the size either, which is probably why I have him at number three as well. But can definitely run the entire route tree. And again, I think you can really place him all over the field, while I think the other guys who can also play in the slot, but they are true X receivers from my view. But Malik Nabers looks like you can put him anywhere on the field and he's going to succeed.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was a vertical threat all season at LSU from the outside or in the slot. But you're right, he did play more inside than on the outside. What I like about his game is he's a physical runner after the catch. I mean, really strong lower body and can just power through arm tackles. He's a big play threat every time he gets the ball. Elite quickness, elite change of direction. I mean, incredible agility. In the open field, I mean, like I mentioned, not only quick and agile, but tough to bring down. I love that about him. And another guy, like I mentioned with these other two, showed that he can win on all three levels. So very complete player as far as that goes. What are some of your concerns, though, for Malik Nabers?
Again, when you start looking at so much tape, and these guys, again, are very close, all three of these guys, in terms of their ratings, there are a few things that I think Malik Nabers probably lacks. I don't think he's good at high pointing the ball. And again, that a little bit of that may go to his size. So these, again, now I'm starting to nitpick a little bit more when I'm starting to dig into the tape and then try to figure out the rankings and why I'm putting people where that I am putting them. I'm not sure at all times where he really should be on the field. And I think a lot of his true success and to reach his max potential is really going to decide what type of offense you put him in. I think the other two, Odunze and MSJ, I think we can put them on any team and they can immediately become a true X and immediately do a lot of damage. Malik, I think to reach his full potential, not to say he won't be a good player, but to reach his full potential, I think we'll be looking at specific offenses that he will be in that takes advantage of his entire skill set.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page here because we talked about it a second ago, had more snaps in the slot than outside. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have success outside, and I think he will at the next level as well. But I think his height and the fact that he did have trouble with contested catches, the fact that he's more quick than he is fast, I think it does make me question a little bit if he is actually more of a slot wide receiver at the next level and not a true X. I'm not saying he can't be. The guy is an incredible athlete. He has a big-time skill set. There's some parts of his game that do make me wonder if he's actually going to be more suited to play inside. I think at times, watching the tape too, Alex, I think he relies a little too much on that elite change of direction ability. Not the most polished route runner. And I think sometimes he gets by on that athleticism, his just agility and speed. And we know at the next level, you're going to have to clean that up if you really want to dominate these guys, because the secondaries and the defenses are faster and more complex. I also thought he was just below average in those contested catch situations, like I mentioned. I don't love that about his tape, and I think part of it is because of the size and just the fact that he has an average catch radius. Little too many body catches on tape as well. Alex, let's move to our number four wide receiver, and this is where we've got a little bit of a shakeup in our rankings here. At number four, I've got his teammate, Brian Thomas Jr., of course, also out of LSU, 6'3", 209 pounds. This is a guy who's a big play receiver, a home run hitter, and probably the best deep threat in this wide receiver class.
Once we saw what he ran at the 40, at the combine for the 40, we were kind of convinced, like, okay, this guy, and some of the things that we just talked about with Malik Nabers in terms of the size and high pointing and so on and so forth, Brian Thomas Jr. answers a lot of those. And though I think we differ here, because I have a different wide receiver, which we'll probably get to within the next pick or so, it's the size and some of the things that Brian Thomas can do that we like, that we just spoke about Malik Nabers wasn't able to do in terms of his size and a lot of the route running things as well.
Yeah, Brian Thomas Jr., like I mentioned, the 6'3", 209. I mean, he's just a big, tall, fast receiver. That always helps. Let's face it, at the next level, that height and size, the fact that he has that kind of speed, he's going to be a really good player, I think, at the next level because he's also a red zone target. He led the FBS with 17 touchdowns last year. He's got a big catch radius. I mean, he can really high point the ball, pluck the ball out of the air. Footwork is quick. He's a fast and really fluid player, especially for a bigger wide receiver. I like that he's a tough, competitive run blocker. That's something that shows up on the tape that, you know, those are some of the little things that maybe don't get talked enough about when you're breaking down tape on a wide receiver, but I really like that about his game. Big time straight line speed. I mean, like we talked about, a home run hitter because when he gets in the open field, I mean, he can pull away from defenders and score from anywhere on the field. Alex, if there was some things, like we said before, we're nitpicking here, but some areas of concern, maybe some areas that he needs to improve, what would you circle for Brian Thomas Jr.?
Well, I think it's what we kind of just, what you just kind of spoke to. There is the clear, he's not the crisp route runner that his counterpart Malik Nabers is or any of the other receivers that we spoke about above as well. But I also think, again, a lot of what we talk about with a lot of these players, especially the skill set players, is where you land. I spoke about it earlier. We actually both have Brian Thomas Jr. mocked to the Buffalo Bills. Now you take, you bring him to the Buffalo Bills with a Curtis Samuel, with a Dalton Kincaid, with a Dawson Knox, he's able to take the top off of that defense and allow for those other guys to be able to do a lot of work in the middle part of the offense while they have to pay attention to him, because we know Josh Allen has a big arm, and that works for what they lost and what they also gained in terms of Buffalo. So I think as we're talking about a lot of these players and we're seeing where they can go, I think that's a perfect fit, which is why I think we both matched on where we think he should go, because he does lack a lot of the route running skills of the other receivers that we spoke about earlier.
Yeah, we had some differences in your mock draft and my mock draft, but this is one that we definitely aligned on because he does fit perfectly with what Buffalo needs, especially with Diggs not being there. You add that big play threat, that home run threat, big body receiver. I think it makes so much sense for that offense and the big arm, like you mentioned, with Josh Allen, and it can open up things in the middle of the field, like you mentioned. I just love this fit for him, and I think he's going to be in that range. I think this is a guy that's probably going to be available in that back half of the first round. So if he's available and on the board for the Bills, I think they would be running to the podium to make that pick. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. I personally love the Pick'em game. Just pick between 2 and 5 players to build a Pick'em entry. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. You can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Download the Underdog Fantasy app and sign up today with promo code PGF. That's promo code PGF to get your first deposit doubled up to $100. The official ticketing app of Pintglass Football is now SeatGeek. I can't recommend them enough, guys. I've been using SeatGeek for years. You want to go to a game this season? SeatGeek is here to take the confusion out of buying tickets, making sure you get the best seats at the best prices. With SeatGeek, you'll never have to worry about overpaying for tickets again. How? They put a 0 to 10 score on each ticket, so you know you're getting a good deal. But here's the real game changer. You can get $20 off your first ticket purchase with the code PGFPOD. That's right, $20 off with code PGFPOD. This season, make every game day epic with SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek app and remember to enter the code PGFPOD to grab your $20 discount. You know what's important when you're having a good time? Staying hydrated. And that's where Liquid IV comes in, the category-winning hydration brand that's fueling your well-being. With just one stick of Liquid IV, you get 2 times faster hydration than water alone, plus 5 essential vitamins to keep you feeling your best. And let's not forget about the convenience factor. The packaging is perfect for on the go, whether you're tailgating or just hanging out on the couch. But what really sets Liquid IV apart is the amazing flavors. Personally, I'm all about the Concord Grape and Lemon Lime. And with 3 times the electrolytes of traditional sports drinks, Liquid IV is made with premium ingredients to give you the hydration and nourishment you need. Get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code PGFP at checkout. That's 20% off anything you order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code PGFP at liquidiv.com. Zencastr is the ultimate web-based podcasting solution. It provides high-quality audio and video podcast production and hosting. With a full suite of professional tools, podcasters can seamlessly record, produce, and publish studio-quality content all from one dashboard. Zencastr's post-production process takes the headache out of audio production. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. Coordinating all your guests to record in person is painful and tedious. Easily invite up to 11 participants per recording with one click. Go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code PGFP and you'll get 30% off your first 3 months of Zencastr Professional. I want you to have the same easy experiences I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Now, Alex, we differ here. So who's your number four wide receiver?
So I have A.D. Mitchell as my number four wide receiver, right ahead of Brian Thomas Jr., simply because of the one thing that we literally just spoke about, the route running aspect. I believe that A.D. Mitchell is a better route runner. Again, like I said before, we start to nitpick because now we're looking and doing rankings. We're trying to figure out where to place everybody. And that's the one thing that I gave A.D. Mitchell over Brian Thomas. I believe he's the better route runner, obviously, coming from what he did in Georgia with the back-to-back chips and then now going to Texas. And the numbers, when you look at the numbers, and if you're just a stat watcher, they're not going to jump out to you like the other receivers. But obviously, we know what happened with Texas with the injuries to Quinn Ewers and what was going on there. But his production, what he showed us at the combine, his 40 time and everything, and then what he was to that team in comparison to Xavier Worthy, who was the talk of the draft just simply due to his 40. But the real star of the draft in terms of that Texas receiving core, to me, was clearly A.D. Mitchell with his route running, with his catchability, and so on and so forth, which is why I put him at four.
Yeah, Alex, for sure. We got these guys flip-flopped. He's my number five receiver. We have the same top five. We just flip-flopped four and five. But I think there's clearly a first tier and second tier when it comes to these receivers. And I think those first three are kind of being viewed as the big three in this class. Like I mentioned, all of those guys could potentially go in the top 10 picks. I think these two guys here at four and five, wherever you want to rank them, I think are more being viewed as mid to late first round selection type players as far as where they're being projected. And I think that it's because there is clearly a drop off after those first three. These guys are both really good players, but they just have a few more question marks than those first three guys. But I like A.D. Mitchell a lot. I really do. I think this kid has big time upside. 6'2", 205 pounds, like you mentioned, out of Texas, but also played at Georgia prior to that. Fast, fluid route runner, especially for his size. Understands defenses, knows how to get open at all three levels. I love that, and I always look for that. I know I've been talking about that a lot with these guys, but you've got to be able to do it at all three levels if you're going to play in the NFL. He checks that box. He's got fast footwork, quick release off the line of scrimmage, elite hands. And that's another thing that I really like about this guy. Only dropped one ball all last season. So you're talking about a very reliable target. You want to talk about a catch radius. This guy might have, you know what? Forget that. He does have the biggest catch radius in this entire draft. I mean, it's actually ridiculous when you watch this guy. He can grab balls out of anywhere. He can make bad throws look great. He's just incredible. The combination of his size, athleticism, the hands, and the ability to run all the route tree, I think it makes him a very high ceiling prospect. What are some areas of concern when looking at A.D. Mitchell's game, though, Alex?
Looking at it, again, the numbers don't tell the story. You really have to watch the play. I will say there were some of the things that I didn't like. And again, I just keep referencing Deebo Samuel because I think that rack or that run after catch that a lot of us love to see from these receivers because they can turn into big plays. If you take a 5-yard slant and you get it up the field or you take a screen pass or whatever it is, these little short passes that you can break a tackle, I'd like to see him get stronger, which a lot of these are still kids. And then they get to the next level and they get on a regiment that gets them stronger. They get on a training regiment that gets them, you know, faster and so on and so forth, that they can start to become the players that we see in terms of projecting where we have them in this ranking. So I want to see him do that at the next level because I'd love to see him get a lot more run after catch.
I think at times he's not aggressive enough when the ball's in the air. I'd like to see him become a guy that really attacks the football when it's up for grabs. I think the one big red flag for me, and it really is by far, I think, his biggest red flag, really inconsistent effort. And that always kind of scares me a little bit because when you watch plays where he's not the primary wide receiver, he's really disengaged at times. And that's concerning for me. He did have some struggles against future NFL corners. When he went up against some of the elite corners in college football, we didn't see him have his best stuff. And obviously that's a bit of a concern because we know at the next level, everyone's an NFL corner. So those are some of the things why I have him just a little bit below some of these other guys, but such a high ceiling guy and a guy that I think, like you said, what he can become, I think, is a special player. Now, Alex, we got through our top five, but real quick, this is such a deep wide receiver class. Who's a wide receiver that's maybe just outside your top five, but a guy that you really like in this draft?
Well, I'll say this guy is not immediately out of my top five, but to me, he's one of the most intriguing receivers in the draft. And it's 6'6", 231-pound Johnny Wilson. And I say that to say because I don't see him as a wide receiver in the NFL, and I've been seeing it for a while. To me, with that 4.5 speed, and you talked about catch radius, this is the guy that actually has the biggest catch radius when you start talking about his arm length, size. He has a huge catch radius. I see him as a stretch tight end as we are moving into this new area of what tight ends are supposed to look like, and I think Jimmy Graham, because as a wide receiver, as a lot of us have seen, there's a lot of Kelvin Benjamin, and I'm saying that not just because he went to Florida State, but in terms of the size and the speed and everything. He doesn't have the hands of a Kelvin Benjamin, however, but he does have that size, and I see him more as a flex tight end on a team, and I think he could possibly turn into a Jimmy Graham and would be perfect, perhaps in maybe picking him up in maybe the third or fourth round and moving him a la Darren Waller. I'll use another name of a guy that has similar this size and speed as well, and then training him up to be a tight end.
Yeah, he's definitely an intriguing prospect because you can't coach size, and you absolutely hit it on the head with him. He's going to be a big target for somebody in the NFL. Alex, I think my guy that's just outside my top five that I'm really curious to see where he ends up, because I think he could end up being a really good player, is Ladd McConkey, the wide receiver out of Georgia. This is a guy who's got speed, really crisp route running. He's got that yards after the catch ability. Really be a guy that I think is going to be a consistent pass catcher at the next level, a productive player. And he's also going to give added value, I think, on special teams, because I think he's a guy that can be a punt returner at the next level as well. I love guys who can play special teams as well. So I think this is a guy the coaches are going to love because he's a versatile wide receiver, like I said, with quickness and speed and great hands. And I think any quarterback is going to love having him in their wide receiver room.
Absolutely. I mean, these guys that are, you know, 6 feet and under, that may not be your prototypical outside receiver, but can do a lot of damage in a game where everybody is basically starting out with three wide receivers for the most part. You need to have wide receivers. This draft is full of them. Here is a guy in Ladd McConkey, and just as a, you know, typical Florida fan, I'll throw Ricky Pearsall as well. But a guy like Ladd McConkey who can really fit in the slot, and again, depending on what offense you put him in, he can be really, truly interchangeable. Would love to see a guy like this in a Sean McVay-style offense. As you know, that's the new DNA that's spreading throughout this league, where you can really put him anywhere on the field and utilize him all over. Sure hands, quick twitch. You're always going to get the Julian Edelman, Wes Welker, if you want to even come more recent, Boyd or Hunter Renfrow, in a sense of a guy that's sure-handed, going to be where he's supposed to be, going to make the catch, and is always going to move the chains.
If you enjoy the podcast, do us a favor and subscribe, rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Guys, we have another episode this week with a special guest joining us. So like I said, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on these new episodes. But once again, I'm Brad Fowler. He's Alex Higdon. This is Pint Glass Football, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Pint Glass Football Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter at PGF Podcast.